Support comes from Gemma, architects, planners, and designers seeking to bring joy to their clients and communities. Details at gemastl.com.
Smile, you're listening to a special episode of The Gateway. I'm Abby Larico, and I wanted to pop back in your feed with a story that's worth at least 1,000 words. The STL PR Top Photos of 2025. If you haven't seen the layout on our website yet, this is our collection of some of the most poignant, most important, and most relevant images captured by our visuals team here at St. Louis Public Radio in 2025. You know, I'm not always a fan of looking backwards, but these images tell a story of who we are as a region and, in many cases, where we're going. You can't put photos on the radio, but maybe you can on a podcast. Here to share some of his perspective from behind the lens, St. Louis Public Radio visuals editor and my friend, Brian Munoz.
Hey, Abby. Glad to be here.
Always glad to talk to you, Brian, especially about the work you do. How do you begin to tell the story of a whole year in one photo collection?
It's really an endeavor going back through thousands of images and trying to see what the through lines, what the storylines are, maybe those moments that were fleeting that we maybe, you know, saw one day, they were gone the next. But when you look at 2025 as a whole, the big resounding storyline is one of resiliency. St. Louis faced so much turmoil, whether politically with changing administrations or being hit by the tornado on May 16th. And no matter what gets thrown our way, the people of our community, even, you know, out in Raleigh, the Metro East, up in Quincy, people have been resilient. And I think that is the through line that I was able to see.
Mm-hmm. In a lot of these images, you really see that in action, in protests, worker strikes or marching against mass deportation plans or rallying for Donald Trump's second inauguration, which you traveled to D.C. for. And somehow you found local people. Of course you did, who had traveled. And those images can be particularly interesting to me because so often the focus is on the whole, like of a crowd size. You, though, get right in on the action. How does the energy that you feel with the camera in hand wind up getting translated to the final image?
So I really have to take into consideration what's going on around me, but really tune things out. You know, being situationally aware, but really looking for that moment, you know, in the haystack, the needle in the haystack, per se, visually. So I'm looking at people's emotions. I'm looking for those moments that just show, you know, a snapshot that's indicative of the broader picture.
Our photojournalists were invited into some very intimate moments this year as well. I stopped scrolling when I came across the photo of Anita Washington mourning the death of her son, Samuel Hayes Jr., died after being restrained at the St. Louis City Justice Center. We also have an image from our photo intern, Lily Gibbs, of Lucy Garcon. Her 27-year-old son, Brian, was pronounced dead after being detained by ICE in Phelps County, another story we've been following. Why is it so important for our photojournalists to be in the room for those moments?
It's so important to be in these rooms, especially in spaces where tragedy happens, to bear witness to the people that are impacted by these lives lost. And I think we were really blessed and honored to be able to share spaces with these families that are going through the unimaginable. And not everyone has that opportunity. And I think for us, we really want to document these spaces in an empathetic way that centers, you know, the lives lost and these families. So we're having conversations before we even pick up a camera. What are you comfortable with? What are you not comfortable with? Here is why we believe it's important that people know your loved one's story. And really, we try to be intentional about how we are making images and not being extractive. You know, sometimes you see big headline, and then the news moves on to the next, unfortunately, the next tragedy.
Mm-hmm.
We want to stay with these people and, you know, the photographs we make are part of, you know, the story and are part of the documentation of the history that is going on in our community.
In a completely different category, though, not all of your photo subjects are exclusive. Even you could not resist making photos of the fireworks downtown during the July 4th celebrations. So often it's very tempting to say, oh, I shouldn't take this cell phone picture of the fireworks. Who wants to see my cell phone picture of the fireworks? Nobody, because they never turn out as well as your image. It's really something. How did you get such an angle, such detail on this image?
So ever since taking this job a little over 4 years ago, my goal was I want to make this image down on the riverfront with the fireworks and the arch and everybody looking up at it. And I just have not been able to get access. And that was such a big part of it. You know, knowing the right people, getting the right connection, who knows who kind of thing. So I bopped around town. I've been to the top parking garages. I've been inside law offices. I have been all over the place, really. And the unique challenge specifically in St. Louis is we have this very iconic structure in the Gateway Arch. But how do you photograph it differently? How do you make the image that you're making unique? You know, of course, the arch is the most iconic thing, in my opinion, in St. Louis. So I'm like, I want that as kind of the center point, because if you take a picture of fireworks, I don't know. I grew up across the river. If I'm standing in Collinsville and I don't have the ketchup bottle in front of me and it's just like the night sky and some fireworks going off, that could be anywhere.
Could be anywhere.
Right.
Context, so, like you said, is
yeah.
Important.
So I ran into a very lovely local PR professional who just happened to have their office in the building in question. And literally maybe 6 months out, I had reached out and said, hey, 4th of July, this is what I want to do. Here's how I'd execute it. And luckily, they were very nice about it and they were able to get me up there. So I clung on to the 14th story of this building on this little balcony that was extremely windy. And just waited for the fireworks show to start and, you know, probably fired off 6 or 7 frames that were usable and picked the best one and edited it and threw it up. And I feel like my mission has been completed, you know, being able to make this image I had been trying to make for the last 4 years. So we'll see. You know, I'll probably still go out this next year, but I think I can watch the fireworks and truly enjoy myself.
That would be a good plan. You know, the nature of the news business, though, is that sometimes you can't make plans. One of the biggest stories of the year for our region was also one of, frankly, the most visually captivating, compelling, the story that you kind of needed to see to even begin to understand. The EF3 tornado that struck parts of St. Louis and St. Louis County May 16th. What was it like putting your eyes on the ground there for the first time? Let's go back to that first.
You know, first thing you do is you go out there, you don't pick up the camera, you keep it on your shoulder, and you talk to people and really center humanity. Hmm. It's like, hey, are you physically okay? Because if they're injured or something, like, I'm going to help them. That's not a moment that we're like, oh, your leg's broken, I'm going to take a picture of you. No.
Yeah.
Of course, we're going to help. But then really documenting and building relationships and getting into these people's homes or what was left of their homes and saying, it's our job to document this. So people know outside of St. Louis that this happened here and that there are people that need assistance. And, you know, we're 6 months later and that's still the case.
One of the things I'm interested in is how do you revisit then? Because this is a story that our reporting team has continued to return to these areas. And how do you then look around when there's such widespread destruction and not just find something new and visually compelling, but accurately tell the story of progress or lack thereof?
It's not always a big, flashy moment or press conference. You know, it's sometimes these very quiet, you know, moment, someone picking up bricks in the front of where their house used to stand. Or, you know, it's crews that are slowly, you know, remaking the side of a building, you know, putting the bricks back up. or even, you know, people gathering months later or weeks later to mourn the loss of a loved one that was killed in the storm. I mean, they're just these little vignettes that I look out for. And sometimes it's just documenting what's there.
Mm-hmm.
Because we know what it looked like before. We know the immediate aftermath, but we've been going back to see, as you mentioned, what's being done, what's not being done.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's important, you know, even if it's not the most moving image at the moment, but to be able to have that for, you know, this draft of history that we're creating, I think is incredibly important.
My last question, this world in which so many of us have access to a camera in our pockets at any given time, so many of us have thousands of images in our phones that may or may not be useful. Any advice for those of us who want to capture more meaningful images in 2026?
You have to think about, in a scene, what is that decisive moment? What is the moment that is the peak action of the scene, or what's going to tell a story? What can you add to the image that's going to add context to the story? I think about a birthday party. So many of us, you know, pull out our phones, our kids, our loved ones, et cetera, or blowing out the candles.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you can get them in the cake, but can you scooch back a little bit and get maybe some of the people that are singing happy birthday around them? You know, what can I add to an image that's going to enhance the story? And I think taking a moment to slow down. We live such quick and speedy lives and we want to go to the next thing and boom, boom, boom. But we just need to take a breath and slow down. Take stock of what's in front of you, and for the love of God, please wipe your camera lens.
Why does that feel like advice that's specifically for me? STLPR Visuals Editor Brian Munoz, I have a feeling you are not going to be taking your own advice and slowing down much in 2026, because the news is going to keep happening, and I know you're going to continue capturing it beautifully for us. Thanks so much for talking to me about this.
Thank you for having me. The best is yet to come.
Check out our collection of 2025 in photos at stlpr.org/2025photos if you haven't yet. And you know what? Even if you have, they're definitely worth a second look. All right, now we're back to our regularly scheduled holiday break. The Gateway will be back in your podcast feed with a new episode featuring news headlines and storytelling in January. I'm Abby Larico. This has been a special edition of The Gateway. Thanks for listening.